and dropped from the new edition of the Trinity Hymnal. Thank you, Seth, for your labors in getting that to us today. Please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. Verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Let's pray. O Thou, from whom all goodness flows, we lift our souls to Thee. And we ask You this morning, God, that You would now come and attend our worship, particularly now as we take up Your word. We know, Lord, that we are on holy ground. This is Your law, Your Ten Commandments, which perfectly reflect Your character. And we ask, God, that as we take up the Ninth commandment today, that it will be taken up in faithfulness, and that Your Holy Spirit would pierce the heart regarding Your law, and that we would leave here today changed, a people more in pursuit of holiness. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It was my first month representing IBM Typing Systems. They didn't give me a lot of time to learn the system, so I spent all Saturday at the office trying to learn the system. Those of you who are wondering what a typing system is, they're obsolete nowadays, but this was the typewriters, IBM typewriters. Last generation, I was hired by to represent IBM's typing systems, which was right before the word processors became very popular. So I was at the office Saturday afternoon, and the knock came at the door, and it was a lady from one of the local school districts. And she had been speaking with one of our representatives, one of my colleagues. And she was very disturbed because the representative had arm-twisted her to make an order on the phone to confirm an order. And she said she was distressed about it because she did not have funding for the order. She had not gone through the proper procurement process in the school district, and she didn't know what to do. And I said, well, ma'am, we're here to take care of the customer, and I'll be glad to help you out. And she could not stop telling me how upset she was that the sales representative had persuaded her through means that were less than honorable. So I said I would take care of it. I was a fresh representative, and I worked on methods that I had learned, regrettably, in an environment that taught me that the best way to deal with conflict is to go over the person's head and not to talk to the person directly. And so instead of talking to my colleague on Monday morning and explaining to her how we had a problem, I bypassed her altogether and went and talked with two members of management, met in their office and explained the whole incident to them. I said, well, Saturday a lady came in and she was upset about the way she was treated. I told her you would take care of it. And the two managers sitting there in their office said, oh, yes, yes, we'll take care of it. You've done the right thing, Joseph. We really, really appreciate you, what you've done. And of course, they brought in my colleague and then gave her, read her the riot act and told her how she'd behaved improperly. And I had spoken with the customer and Joseph had done the right thing. And it was a couple months later that this colleague said to me in passing, and I don't even remember what the conversation was, but the words that she said will always be burnt upon my conscience. She said, well, at least I do not talk to management behind other people's backs. And it struck me that day that because of my behavior, which I thought was right, oh, I thought I was doing the right thing. Because I had neglected to honor her good name and to deal with her directly, my testimony had been greatly endangered. the damage of such unkindness, on my part, caused, could only be undone by a special dispensation of God's grace. I had damaged my testimony almost irreparably by my unkindness. Today we take up the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, I know, brethren, that I've given the same introduction at this point repeatedly for now 9 weeks. But I say again, I want this to be burnt upon our consciences that when we leave this series on the Ten Commandments, everybody in here can say that the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments is divided into two parts. The first part being the first four commandments summarized under the statement, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all my mind, thy mind. And the second table of the law is like unto it, the last six commandments, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The first, the second table of law, the six commandments, the fifth commandment addresses the sanctity of authority, the sixth commandment, the sanctity of life, the seventh, the sanctity of marriage, the eighth, the sanctity of work, labor, or property, the ninth, the sanctity of truth, and the tenth, the sanctity of our lot in life. Today, again, then, brethren, we come to the ninth commandment, the sanctity of the truth. And our outline follows, as it has been throughout this study, the Westminster Confession, Shorter Catechism, as found in your hymnal in the back, under questions, catechism questions 77 and 78. So our first heading today under, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, is what is required in the ninth commandment. And under this heading, there are four points. The ninth commandment requires the maintaining and promoting of truth between man and man, and of our own and our own neighbor's good name, especially in witness bearing. Point one. The ninth commandment requires the maintaining and promoting of truth between man and man. This is strongly supported by a verse in Zechariah 8:16, where God says, these are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth one to another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. If you are a child of God, you are one of God's people. And God's people and God's children that will not lie, Isaiah 63:8 says. It is our duty before God to govern our tongues. Psalm 39:1, the psalmist says, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. If we do not govern our tongues, the Word of God says that our Christianity is vain, of vapor. Vaporous. If we do not govern our tongues, our Christianity is vain. For if any man among you seem to be religious, James 1:26, and bridles not his tongue, that man's religion is vain. I read again, James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridles not his tongue, that man's religion is vain. I say again, if you don't govern your tongue, your Christianity is vain. It's like a vapor. It's vaporous. We need to join our dear brother David, who prayed to God to keep him from tongue sins when he prayed, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Psalm 141:3. The ninth commandment requires the maintaining and promoting of truth between man and man. Secondly, under the first heading, the ninth commandment requires the maintaining and promoting of our own good name. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts 25. Acts 25. Look at verse 10. But Paul said, I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. To the Jews, I have done no wrong, as you yourself know very well. Brethren, you know that it is appropriate for us as Christians. It is appropriate for us to remember that all we have earned is hell. That all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That God sees more sin in our best of moments than we see in our worst. And we ought to remember that. But that should never be used, ever be used as an excuse for us to not endeavor to be blameless. Here was Paul before Caesar's tribunal making an astound statement. Look at what he says. I have done no wrong. Now, this is the same Paul who declared that he was the chiefest of sinners. The same Paul who talked about the struggle he had with sin in his life in Romans chapter 7. This is not a dichotomous statement. Paul is addressing here his good name, his testimony. He even says that his testimony is so good that you yourself know very well at the end of Acts 25 verse 10. I have done no wrong, and you yourself know very well. This is the concept of blamelessness. Now turn in your Bibles over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Notice what Paul says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. As Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 16. Having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, in other words, when somebody violates the ninth commandment, when they slander you, those who revile your good behavior, these are those who are violating the ninth commandment, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. In other words, Peter says that we are to have a blameless testimony so that when people slander us, they have no substance. They have no substance to their reviling. Now, brethren, in order to get this testimony, this blamelessness, we must live by faith. For the Word of God tells us, for by it the elders obtained by faith, the elders obtained a good report. That's a good name, a good testimony. Hebrews 11:2. We need to walk wisely. For a man's wisdom, according to Ecclesiastes 8:1, a man's wisdom makes his face to shine. The Word of God says in a picturesque way. In other words, when we walk in wisdom, which is godly application of knowledge, applying God's Word in a godly way, when we have a testimony that's above reproach, without rebuke, when we are blameless, when we have a good name, our face shines. We must do justice. We must do justly, having our testimony honest among the Gentiles. This is 1 Peter. You're in 1 Peter. If you look over to chapter 2, verse 12, he says he wants us to have a testimony honest among the Gentiles. And brethren, in so doing, in trying to do the right thing, trying to be above reproach, trying to have a good name, trying to be blameless, trying to be those who cannot be reviled, our good testimony cannot be reviled, our good testimony cannot be slandered, in trying to do so, we must do so, remembering the pit from which we were dug, remembering our deservings of hell, remembering how wicked and vile our inner thoughts are, as the hymn writer wrote, when I look within, all is dark, all is dark. In light of all that, we must do so in humility. For the Word of God says in Proverbs 18:12, before honoring our good name, before honor is humility. And yet, brethren, we must abound. These are not dichotomous statements. They are much in harmony. They talk about the grace of God. We must abound in good works. Let your light so shine before men the Word of God says in Matthew 5:16, our light must shine before men. This is our testimony. But can good people expect to have everybody's good word? Let's say we try to be blameless, above reproach. Certainly not. The Word of God condemns us if we try to be liked by everybody. It says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Luke 6:26. We can expect, as in 1 Peter 3:16, when you are slandered, in other words, you will be slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. In other words, we will be reviled, but make sure they have nothing to revile us by. May they be put to shame. May we risk losing a good conscience? Brethren, you may ask yourself, I want to maintain my reputation. So I might risk losing a good conscience in so doing. No. Our praise should never be for men. So we try to be above reproach. We try to be blameless. We try to have a good name, but not so that we may have the praise of men. Romans 2:29. We just sang. Look at your hymn. Look at your bulletin. This is my favorite verse in this hymn. It is the fourth verse. If for thy sake, upon my name, shame and reproach shall be, all hail reproach and welcome shame. Good Lord, remember me. Point 3 under the first heading. The ninth commandment requires the maintaining and promoting of our neighbor's good name. Not only our good name, but our neighbor's good name. Could I please ask you to turn to the book of 3 John. The third epistle of John. It's right before Revelation. 3 John. And the 12th verse. The 12th verse of 3 John. The ninth commandment requires the maintaining and promoting of our neighbor's good name. Notice what John says of Demetrius. Demetrius has, 3 John verse 12, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony. And you know that our testimony is true. Here, John is commending someone else for a blameless testimony, a good testimony from everyone, speaking the truth. We ought to be very tender, brethren, listen carefully. We ought to be very tender of the good names of others. We must honor all men, 1 Peter 2, verse 17 says. We must praise our neighbor when he does well. Look at the word in front of us. We also bear record. We add our testimony in 3 John, verse 12. Now, this does not mean that we should flatter our neighbor and speak ungrossly over the top gushing compliments. For the Word of God says that he that speaks flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail. He that speaks flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail, Job 17:5. But we must charitably conceal their faults. If I were to ask for a show of hands today and I asked you, how many of you have a fault? Well, I would hope that all of our hands would go up. Every one of us has faults. And the Word of God says charity or love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8. It's our job as Christians to be kind to others, to be charitable, to be loving, to cover their faults. And brethren, it is our place in Scripture to discourage slandering and a critical spirit. I say again, it is our responsibility in Scripture to discourage slandering and a critical spirit. For Proverbs 25 verse 23 tells us, we must, with an angry countenance, the Word of God says. I'm not making this up. Proverbs 25, 23. we must, with an angry countenance, drive away the backbiting tongue. We must, with an angry countenance, drive away the backbiting tongue. Sometimes all you have to say is, you're talking to the wrong person. You got a problem with that person? You're talking to the wrong person. And fourthly, under this heading, the ninth commandment requires the maintaining and promoting of truth between man and man, and of our own and our neighbor's good name, especially in witness bearing. Turn to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Let's look at two verses. Proverbs 14, verse 5. A faithful witness does not lie. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies. I like that translation. A false witness breathes out lies. And look at verse 25. A truthful witness saves lives, speaks the truth and it saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. Well, then let me say today what is commonly said in the courtrooms. It is our duty, especially in witness bearing, to speak the truth, for a faithful witness will not lie, Proverbs 14:5. And the whole truth. Samuel told Eli every whit and hid nothing from him, 1 Samuel 3:18. And nothing but the truth, for a lying tongue is but for a moment, Proverbs 12:19. See, it is our responsibility to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Our second heading this morning, what is forbidden in the ninth commandment? And under this heading, brethren, we will have 3 points. The first point, the ninth commandment forbids whatever is prejudicial to truth. The ninth commandment forbids whatever is prejudicial to truth. Turn to Romans 3. Romans 3. Now we see in the shorter catechism, it says, the ninth commandment forbids whatever is prejudicial to truth or injurious to our own or our neighbor's good name. The first point, the ninth commandment forbids whatever is prejudicial to truth. Romans 3, verse 13. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. Listen to God's word. The venom of asps is under their lips. Brethren, lying makes men like the devil. Lying makes men like the devil. The venom of asps is under their lips. You say, well, that's a strong statement. Well, the word of God says that the devil is a liar and the father of it in John 8:44. Lying will bring you to hell. For all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21:8. You may say, well, can I tell a lie with the intention to do good? No, you may not. For the word of God says we must not do evil that good may come in Romans 3, verse 8. Lying will never do us any good. Lying will never do us any good. Lying will never, never do us any good. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is vanity, tossed to and fro of them that seek death. Proverbs 21:6. It is a sin to raise a false report. Exodus 23:1. And Let me say that again. It is a sin to raise a false report, Exodus 23:1. And it is a sin to spread a false report. It is a sin to raise a false report, and it is a sin to spread a false report. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer. That's what a talebearer does. He spreads a false report. Leviticus 19:16. With the psalmist, brethren, we must pray against the sin. Remove from me the way of lying. Psalm 119, verse 29. The second point under the second heading. The ninth commandment forbids whatever is injurious to our own good name. Turn to Job chapter 27. Job chapter 27. Job is the book right before Psalms. Job 27 and verse 5. Job 27, verse 5. Far be it from me to say that you are right. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. The ninth commandment forbids whatever is injurious to our own good name. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. Now let's talk about this for a moment. By nature, we are not those who would own our sin. By nature, we are those who are self-defensive. We all know what it's like when we are accused of something wrong to defend ourselves. And I just exhort us today, if there's ever any question about our integrity, let us remember to be hard on ourselves and soft on others. If for thy sake, upon my name, shame and reproach should be, all hail reproach and welcome shame. Good Lord, remember me. Yes, we should beware of being self-defensive, but on the other hand, and a big hand it is, so I'm going to say that again, we should beware of being self-defensive. But on the other hand, and a big hand it is, we need to beware of confessing to sin when we are not guilty. Now, I don't know if you've ever been caught in that trap, but I have, and it's a terrible place to be, where I've tried to be so hard on myself and soft on others that I confessed to sin that wasn't even mine. And it came back to bite me. The larger catechism notes that one of the violations of the ninth commandment is silence in a just cause. There is a place, brethren, when under false accusation, we must stand up and speak for justice when we are falsely accused to protect our own good name. Till I die, I will put away my integrity. I will not put away my integrity from me. And the last point under the second heading, the ninth commandment forbids whatever is injurious to our neighbor's good name. The ninth commandment forbids whatever injures our neighbor's good name. And we have several texts to consider here, brethren. Can I ask you please to look to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verse 16. You shall not go around. Now, brethren, let me just tell you that if you are forgetting, you're going to forget everything I said today. If you forget everything I said today, don't forget what's going to be covered under this point. Leviticus 19, verse 16. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord Jehovah. Turn over to Psalm 15, the 15th Psalm. The 15th Psalm. The 15th Psalm, verse 3. Who does not slander with his tongue, and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. A godly man does not slander with his tongue. He does no evil to his neighbor. Now look at Proverbs, the next book, Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Look at this text. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. Murderers. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. And look at verse 19. A false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. God has condemned the lying tongue. He has condemned a false witness. And one who sows discord among brothers. He has likened such a sinner to someone who sheds innocent blood. And if that's not enough, please turn in the book of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, the third chapter. Luke 3. Luke 3 and verse 14. Luke 3:14. Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And listen to his command to them. He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." In other words, the exhortation of Christ, do not extort by false accusation. Do not try to get something from somebody by falsely accusing them. Now, brethren, let me ask you to think for a few moments. Think about all the verses we have quoted forbidding this sin. And then think about all the verses you've read that we haven't quoted. And I ask you to study these things in the Scriptures. Study them! It would be wise for every one of us to do a study on the following words. Gossip. Backbiting. Slander. Belittling, disparaging, deprecating, libel, defamation, idle talk, rumor, tattling, hearsay, prattle, scandal, and talebearing. It is a sin, brethren. It is a sin to speak evil of anyone. The Word of God says, put them in mind to speak evil of no man. Titus 3, verses 1 and 2. He that utters slander again is a fool. Proverbs 10:18. The Word of God says that it is a sin to be severely critical. It is a sin. It is a sin to be severely critical and fault-finding. That is the truth behind what Christ is saying when he says, judge not that ye be not judged in Matthew 7. He's saying to the Pharisaical, holier than thou, righteous community, judge not that ye be not judged. The way you treat other people by being fault finders and critical, is the way you'll be judged when you stand before me. Do not spend your time as the holier-than-thou, looking down the snout at others, Christian, thinking so much of yourself and being critical and fault-finding with others. Sometimes you get together with Christians and that's all they want to do is talk about other people's faults and be critical of other Christians. This is a great offense to God Almighty. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law, James 4, verse 11 says. It's not Bartosz saying it, it's James. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. This makes us, brethren, listen to me, this makes us out to be just like the devil. For he is the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12, verse 10. You may ask the question, well, may we then proclaim our brother's faults? No. I say again, charity rejoices not in iniquity. 1 Corinthians 13, 6. Love rejoices not in iniquity. I gave an illustration earlier about me as an IBM representative. And you may have thought to yourself, what did he do wrong? Did he lie? Did he lie? He just spoke the truth, didn't he? You may have thought that. All I was doing was speaking the truth. Brethren, all truths should not be spoken at all times. For there is a time to keep silence. There is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Ecclesiastes 3:7. There is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. The larger catechism notes that one of the violations of this commandment is speaking the truth unseasonably. Speaking the truth unseasonably. I'll tell you today, I'm here to tell you today, that there are times when in speaking the truth, you violate the ninth commandment. Because you are unkind and unloving to your friend, to your neighbor. This has damaged many a good reputation by the words, I was just telling the truth! Shame on you! You think just because it's the truth, you have the right to throw it out so all everybody can hear what you have to say about somebody? Well, it's just the truth! You can ruin somebody's life by speaking the truth. Unseasonably. It is a violation of this commandment. Charity rejoices not in iniquity. 1 Corinthians 13, 6. Judge not that ye be not judged. Matthew 7, 1. This makes us like the devil. He is an accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12, 10. You may say, well, what about when we are abused by somebody else? They abused us. They were unkind to us. Isn't it okay for us to return evil speech with evil speech? No. Never. We must not render railing for railing. 1 Peter 3, verse 9. Years ago, and brethren, it was years ago, I remember traveling with a man who was a very, very good preacher of God's Word. And as we traveled, I noted how this man consistently spoke with a critical and fault-finding spirit of others, consistently spreading gossip with me in the car. I would say this man, as I got to know him, I found he was predictable for several things. This man could be counted on to be very loving to the brethren. This man could be counted on to be very opinionated. This man could be counted on to be very generous. He could be counted on to preach very well. And brethren, this man could be counted on to be a gossip. When the time came for me to consider whether I would endorse this man as an elder, I tell you today, I could handle his opinionatedness. I could. I've had elders who were opinionated, and I can handle it. But I could not handle his gossip. Pastors are in a very trusted place. Their office, by nature of the office, demands confidence and trust. And they are deeply tempted. You ask any pastor, they will tell you, they are deeply tempted to share what is confidential with others. The temptation to gossip, especially with his wife, greatly endangers any pastor's blamelessness. Well, I've got to talk to somebody. I'll talk to my wife about it. And then we have a violation of the ninth commandment, defended by the covenant of marriage. Brethren, I have seen it repeatedly. In fact, I would say this is probably one of the greatest sins that endangers the blamelessness of pastors, is this loose lip problem where they can't keep it to themselves. Words unfitly spoken. Words unfitly spoken can ruin lives. Turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Beginning at verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire, verse 6. A world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise? Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and insincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Notice, brethren, this entire chapter is dedicated to the ninth commandment. I commend it to your reading and your meditation this week. It seals this message. And yet in our wicked hearts, we think that backbiting is justified. Even sometimes we'll say, we confess it. Oh, brother, I just want you to know that I said something about you behind your back, and I'm really sorry about it. How many of you, I'm not asking for a raise of hands, how many of us have said that? I just want you to know that behind your back I said this. This happened to me just this last week. One of my subordinates came to my office. He says, oh, I had such a bad attitude. And I just said to him, so you backbit me. He was confessing backbiting, so I just called it for what it was. I said, so you backbit me. He began to defend himself. I said, brother, you're coming here to tell me what you did. I'm just calling it for what it is. You backbit me. And we try to justify it because we confess it. Oh, I want you to know, brother, my wife and I were talking, and we decided that the following things about you were, as if there was some justification for what you did because you were going to tell somebody about it. We're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. There's nobody in this room that is exempt. I think that was in the prayer today. I don't know if it was back here, Gabe, or in the pulpit. We're all guilty of this. Just because you say, bless his heart, you are not exempt from the slander that follows. You're guilty. You're guilty. We're all guilty. We are like our father, the devil, and the lusts of our father we will do. He was a liar from the beginning. And we're just showing our heritage when we behave like this. A Hasidic tale. A Hasidic tale vividly illustrates the danger of such improper speech. Backbiting. A man went about the community telling malicious lies about the rabbi. Later he realized the wrong that he had done and began to feel remorse. So he went to the rabbi and he said, Rabbi, I've been saying bad things about you behind your back. I've been gossiping. Would you please forgive me? The rabbi told the man, the man said, is there anything I could do to make amends for you, Rabbi? Rabbi said, of course I forgive you. And the guy says, can I do anything to make amends for you? And the rabbi said, sure. Take a feather pillow. Cut it open. And scatter the feathers to the winds. The man thought this was a strange request, but it was simple enough. So he did it gladly. Took a feather pillow, cut it open, spread the feathers to the winds. And the rabbi said to him, now, go and gather the feathers. Because you can no more make amends for the damage your words have done than you could recollect those feathers. Oh, how I've heard from men who preach the gospel statements like this. Well, I have information about that case, and I can tell you that this brother, and there it comes, and what those things put in my ears cannot be undone. It's like trying to chase down the feathers that have been blown in the wind. And if pastors that I respect can be so negligent in this commandment, then all of us have to be very concerned about our violations in this. It is a serious violation. Brethren, I'm going to plead with you now. I'm pleading with you. I plead with all of us today that when you leave here today, purpose in your heart, never, never again will I tolerate this sin in my life. I will not indulge in gossip. I will not backbite. I will not be a talebearer. And I will not tolerate it with those in my midst. God help me. Brethren, I plead with you again to leave here today purposing in your hearts, never, never again will I tolerate the sin in my life or in the life of my brother. For God's word says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, we are all smitten by this verse. We all know we are all guilty. Every one of us, we're all guilty. And because we have so much company in this violation, sometimes we try to excuse make and think it's all right. And our words have damaged so many. We have hurt so many people with our carelessness, with our speech, with our words that were not fitly spoken. And so we plead with you, Lord, help us to make purpose in our hearts today to never violate this commandment. And when we fall to see the seriousness of our sin and to run afresh to Christ, pleading for forgiveness, and may we follow the example of the psalmist and pray that you will put a watch guard upon our tongues. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.